Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
This team is a wrecking ball, rolling every team in its path. Good evening and welcome to Flames Unfiltered. And yeah, I don't think you can get any more positive than we're going to get this week, as everything seems to be going great in Calgary this week, actually the last 2 weeks. But big news, Tyler Toffoli is now a Calgary Flame, pays off with two more wins since he's joined the team. This team's crazy. This team is just on a roll and showing no signs of letting up, and making a hockey really, really fun to watch right now. So we had the Super Bowl last week. I'm sure everybody spent their Sunday watching that. And I saw a really interesting article on Sportsnet that compared NFL teams to NHL teams. And, you know, what franchise is in the same position as the other, you know, as the other is in football. And the Calgary Flames football team that corresponds to them is the Green Bay Packers. And I thought, well, how does that work? And then it said, frigid climates, old stadiums, and big questions around who is leading this team forward from here. Aaron Rodgers' future is up in the air with the Packers, while the Flames face a critical decision with Johnny Gaudreau, man Matthew Tkachuk with new contracts. And I started thinking, yeah, this team's pretty similar to the Green Bay Packers in a lot of way. And having a season, a regular season like the Green Bay Packers, hopefully the postseason's a little bit different. Other notable ones, Vegas with the LA Rams, Super Bowl winners. Probably pretty fitting there. Cincinnati Bengals, Super Bowl runner-up. Florida Panthers, young, dynamic, exciting. Yeah, pretty much fits in there, huh? It sure has been fun watching Flames games lately, hasn't it? Even with the reduced crowds and you know, not the Saddle Dome not rocking like it normally has. I'll tell you what, it's been, this city has taken this team, and it's a pretty good environment for 50%. Hopefully, I'll cross our fingers this week. It's Saturday night. We can get full back in. We'll see what happens with that. Post game calling on Sportsnet 960 with Pat Steinberg. I'm sure all of you guys listen to that because we're all big Flames fans, and that's where, you know what, a lot of, we get to learn a lot on those, and so that was fun having the callers. But one of the things I think is hilarious this year is that there's been nights where Steinberg has said, phone lines are open, phone lines are open. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. This is the best team we've had in a long, 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 long time, and things are going great, and the phone lines are open. I came to realize that, you know what, in the years like last year when we struggled, damn, phone lines were packed. People wanted to call and bitch. Oh, we live in the negative. Everybody's got the answers to fix everything. But nobody can praise and, you know, feel the happiness, I guess, when things are going really, really good. But I don't know. I do know one thing this week. I learned that there's a million fans on Flames Twitter the need to go out and apologize to Brad for living. He made the move. He's made many moves we forget quickly as fans. But he made a big move here this week, bringing in Toffoli. And I think based off what we've seen so far and the logistics of the trade, which we'll talk about here in the show today, it's probably going to pay big dividends. And I think Treliving is owed an apology. On this episode today, it's a jam-packed show like they always are, you know. We'll review the five straight dominating performances since last week when we were on the show. Then we'll talk about other big news from the week as Tyler Toffoli has been acquired by the Calgary Flames. Then we'll talk about the Flames having so many players that would and should be up for awards at the end of the season. It's amazing when you break it all down and you see how well the performances we're having on an individual basis. Outstanding. Then we'll roll into some Flames news, news from the Pacific, and a great Facebook poll. We're going to wrap this show up previewing this weekend's game against the Seattle Kraken as Mark Giordano comes back home. Thanks for joining us on another episode of Flames Unfiltered. All right, Flames fans, lots of positive stuff to talk about since we were last on the show. We'll roll through the five games that took place last week. That's a lot of hockey, isn't it? Winning all these games, we're playing a lot of games. That's crazy. We'll go back to last Wednesday night, the 9th, Vegas in Calgary. And a game that, I'll be honest with you, I was like, this is a huge marker. Where does this team stand? Where do we stack up? You know, how is this going to go? And Vegas came flying out of the chutes. Three goals in the first period, go on to win 6-0. Outshooting the Vegas Golden Knights 33-28. A Knights team that, quite honestly, I know it hasn't been quite as bad at home, but you know, impossible to beat them at T-Mobile. But this was a dominating performance, and one that, you know, we look at a couple of them through this year early on. The Boston game I thought was a dominating performance, and this one really was too. And it's kind of one I penciled in on as one of the better performances of the year. Backlund had a goal, 3 assists. He's been on fire lately. Tkachuk, a goal, 2 assists. And Markstrom, yeah, 28 save shutout. Eighth shutout of the year. 2 before he catches Kiprusoff. Another amazing statistic that is, I don't know, I can't say forgotten. Talked a lot about in Calgary. Not talked a lot about outside of Calgary, though, has it? Toronto and Calgary on Thursday night, second night of a back-to-back. Always scary. A top team in the East coming in the Toronto Maple Leafs. Toronto outshoots Calgary 48-26, which is a rare, rare occurrence this year. Calgary under 30 shots, another rare occurrence this year. Walk away with a 5-2 win after a 4-goal outburst in the second period. Markstrom gets the win. Campbell, who I thought looked shaky this night, gets the loss. Oliver Shillington with the game-winning goal. Markstrom, 46 saves. Wow, another great night for Markstrom. Backlund, 2 assists. Rasmus Anderson, a goal and an assist. And I think this woke up the hockey world to the Calgary Flames again. We got taught a lot of Flames got a lot of praise earlier in the year, and then it went away. And when the COVID debacle went through, and then we struggled out coming out of that, and this woke up the hockey world to the Calgary Flames again. And then last Saturday night, the Islanders came to town, and we're like, well, okay, keep this going. Calgary walks away with a 5-2 win, out shooting the Islanders 29-21. 2 goals in the first, 1 in the second, 2 more in the third. Andrew Mangiapane with a home goal. He's starting to get a lot of those now with a game winner. Markstrom with the win. Sorokin with the loss. Ruziska steps back. He's just been amazing lately as far as that fourth line center. Goal and assist, +3 in the game. Rasmus Anderson, another assist. Lucic added an assist. All in all, team effort, another win in a row. And then Sunday and Monday off, 2 days off, and we're back at it as Columbus came to town to set up another back-to-back this week on Tuesday night, and Flames put up 6 in a 41-20 shot differential, and pretty much dominated the whole game. 2 goals each period, just never let off the gas. Vladar gets the start, his first home start, gets a win, and I want to talk about Vladar for 1 second. I was really confused before this game because everybody was like, well, we're going to have to get Vladar in, but, you know, can we trust Vladar in? And I'm thinking, what changed our mind? Like, we all year have been saying that we felt very comfortable with Vladar. Yeah, he had an outing that wasn't amazing and struggled on a few, but we've had Markstrom struggle on a few games and no one was pulling the plug on Markstrom, were they? I think Dan Vladar has been very, very good. Everything we could have asked for in a backup goalie this year, right? I don't get it. I don't get it why he was getting, you know, heat and on Twitter and stuff. And people so up in the air and worried, and the media worried about how Vladar was going to do. And it's like, Jesus, the guy play. He had a really good night. Stopped 18 of 20 shots on goal. Thought he was fine. Elias Lindholm gets on the scoreboard with a goal and 2 assists. Toffoli in his first game as a Calgary Flame. A beauty. on a flip pass from Goodrow. He gets a goal. He had 12-18 for time on ice. Dylan Dubé with a goal off the snide for Dubé. He's been struggling lately, and he managed to get a goal. He gets one again as Wednesday when Anaheim came to town. And Calgary, another one. Six more for a team that was going to have no offense this year. Quite the outburst as of late. Outshoot the Anaheim Ducks 43-28. Chase Gibson from the game. Elias Lindholm with the game winner. Markstrom again with another win. Lindholm, two goals and an assist. Rasmus Anderson, three assists. Johnny Gaudreau, a goal and two assists. Other notable goals, Dylan Dubé had another goal. So all's good there. Shorthanded one to top it all off. So that's good to see. And Calgary have won eight straight for a sixth time in franchise history with that 6-2 win over Anaheim. The franchise record's 10, and they've done that twice, so let's see if we can keep things going against Seattle on Saturday night as they invade the Saddle Dome. Another amazing stats, though. Just listen to this. In the last 10 or 11 games, the Flames are 10-1. They've outscored their opponents in those games 51-19. They've averaged 4.63 goals per game. In the last five, they've rattled off 6-5-5-6-6. Who in the world saw that coming? Bet the over, right? I was going to do that. I'm not, because I will jinx this team, and I can't do that. 11 games for Markstrom, has three shutouts. Or 11 in the last 11 games for the Flames, Markstrom's had three more shutouts. I don't know. And all this has been done in just a relatively short period of time. And we did our last show last Tuesday night, I believe, and we rattled off five games since then in a week and 2 days. Crazy pace. This week slows a little bit, but man, when we hit March, April, it is pedal to the metal. All right, Flames fans, big, big, big news this week as the Calgary Flames acquired Tyler Toffoli from the Montreal Canadiens in exchange for a first-round pick, which is lottery-protected, a fifth-round pick, I believe that's in 2023, Emil Heinemann. Why do I have a trouble saying that name? The prospect that we got from the Florida Panthers in the Sam Bennett trade, which I believe was a second-round pick. And then Tyler Pitlick gets sent to the Montreal Canadiens to free up a little cap space. Hate to see Tyler Pitlick go, but things just didn't work for Tyler Pitlick in Calgary. Injuries, trouble scoring, just one thing after another. We wish him the best. He busted his ass when he was here. He worked very hard for this team. The trade. I loved the quote that Brad Treliving had in the presser. He said, "The players have done their job. It was time for me to do mine. Part of that is giving them some help." And what he gave this team is a lot more depth up front. Toffoli has replaced Richie from the lineup so far. Richie, who hasn't scored this year, or for that matter, registered a point, which is almost amazing. Tyler Toffoli steps right into that position, and all systems go. Monahan Dubé line looked a little bit better. Time will tell if it's stats where he stays or that works out. But so far, so good. In game one, Toffoli looked, I'm being honest, I thought he looked a little tired, which is understandable. He had a lot of games with Montreal and then had the travel late night up for a game. But was fine, was good, was effective. Did score a goal, a great one-legged goal on a flop pass. Like a long bomb from Johnny Gaudreau. Tyler Toffoli with his great hands stuffed it in the backside with, and it was just a great goal. The fans were chanting Tyler Toffoli. In the presser after his quote was, "It's obviously pretty cool, but at the same time, a little embarrassing for myself. Raz was all over me in the room." I think Rasmus Anderson is the guy that likes to cut it up a little bit and have a little bit of fun with his teammates. But all in all, a great, great night for his first game, a goal, four shots, 12-18 of time on ice. I believe he had 18 shifts, average shift of 41 seconds, and that's about right. And You know, they said they were going to ease him in slowly. And I believe we're going to see his minutes get up into that 16, 17 minute mark. 15 to 17 minutes, depending on what line he's going to be with. But all in all, Tyler Toffoli, right out of the gate, endears himself with the Calgary fans, and everybody loves him right away. And that's great. Back to back, second night, Anaheim, Wednesday night. Toffoli, no points, a minus one, 23 shifts for 12-19. So just one more second, two shots on net. And again, they're just letting him, you know, phase in. Today was his first practice with the team, and day off for the Flames on Friday, and the team will get back at it Saturday in the morning skate. So Tyler Toffoli, what are we getting with Tyler Toffoli? Well, we're getting a guy that won a Stanley Cup in L.A. with Daryl Sutter. We're getting a guy that has been a 31-goal scorer. A 28-goal scorer with the Montreal Canadiens, a guy that has had postseason success, 39 points in 76 games in the playoff. He's got 39 playoff points, you know, 16 of those goals, 76 games. That's some pretty good experience. If you look on this roster, we've got playoff experience. The difference with this is winning experience. And recent, with him playing in the finals last year, he went on that run in the bubble with Vancouver. He was very, very good in that. Guy's a consistent 20-goal scorer, and he is two-way responsible, kills penalties. He's going to help this team out in a lot of different ways. Now, one of the things that is not talked about enough in this trade, in my mind, is the fact that Tyler Toffoli is still under contract for the next 2 years after this at $4.25 million. Which is a hell of a price tag for a guy that can be as productive as Tyler Toffoli. And I love this trade. I love it because the biggest reason I love it is because we didn't have to give up anybody on our roster for this trade. Besides Tyler Pitlick, which he wasn't playing in our top nine anyway, our top 12 anyways. Everything screams great from the beginning. We'll see how it all works out. I mean, things have went south that we thought they weren't, i.e. James Neal, but I like this. I like this move. I think it's a safe move. I always look at things as risk reward. The risk here, it's kind of tough to say there's a risk when you've got a track record as clear as that, and recent track record as clear as that. He's also got a number of connections to Calgary. This guy knows, like, literally half the team. He played with Lucic, Lewis, and Richardson in L.A. He played with Markstrom and Tanev in Vancouver. Was roommates with Monahan when they played in Ottawa in the Canadian Hockey League Juniors. Played for Sutter when Sutter coached him in L.A. I mean, lots of familiarity. And I like what he brings to the team, and I love everything about this. Are the Flames done before trade deadline? I don't think so. We're going to get into that more on some future episodes on what I think will, what we will do, what Brad Treliving will do more. I don't think it's going to be anything big. I don't think there's the draft picks or the cap space, or there's a lot of factors involved that would probably limit us from having, you know, a huge another, add a big piece. But I think a couple small pieces here and there could play dividends and really help this team move another step forward. And I don't know how you can get any further steps forward with the way we're playing right now, but we all know the sustainability on how we're playing right now is probably limited. We're probably going to fall back to earth here pretty soon. But this team is starting to make believers out of a lot of people. All right. Another thing that's really got everybody buzzing in Calgary is individual performances that we're having this year. It's been amazing. There's been so many individual performances that stand out. And I penciled down four guys on the Flames that have to be, like, if not favorites, strong candidates for awards at the end of the year. Let's get it started with the heart, the most important, the MVP the Hart Trophy, and Johnny Gaudreau sits there. Johnny Gaudreau has got 20 goals. Say that again. 20 goals, 63 points. He had 19 points last year in 56 games. He had 18 in 70 games the year before and 36 in 82 the year he had 99 points. And he is on pace to surpass that. He currently sits fourth in points. He's got 63. McDavid has 66. He sits 20th in goals with 20 behind Chris Kreider, who has 33. He sits second in assists with 43. Jonathan Huberdeau has 49. He leads the National Hockey League with a plus 39. Now, if you'd have told me that Johnny Gaudreau would lead the National Hockey League this year in plus minus, I would have fallen off my chair. I'll be the first. I was very Eric Francis on him last year and was very difficult on him. Now, I still haven't got his performance in the playoffs that I got to see this year. But so far, oh, man, this guy's making a case for some serious coin come this offseason. 5 game-winning goals. Now you look at the other candidates for the Hart right now. You got Connor McDavid. Yeah, probably he'll get it just because of his last name and his track record. Nazem Kadri is having an amazing year in Colorado. Austin Matthews is having a great year in Toronto. Alex Ovechkin, the ageless wonder, still denting the twine back over in Washington. And Cale Makar is having a really, really good year in Colorado as he's putting up tons of points as a defenseman. Well, those are probably the leaders for the MVP. You know, you look at those, and if I had to vote today, how does Johnny Gaudreau not get it? I mean, McDavid and Dreisaitl, yeah, but their team's still muddling trying to get into the playoffs. Kadri probably won't get it, sadly, because of it's Nazem Kadri. Austin Matthews is there. He's probably pushing on Johnny to get it. Alex Ovechkin and Cale Makar, yeah, strong candidates. But right now, I'd have to believe that Johnny Gaudreau would get it. You know, switching gears and heading over to the Vezina Trophy, Jacob Markstrom is making a strong push there. He had four wins, a 1.33 goals against average, a 0.959 save percentage, had a shutout in that, was the first star of the week in the National Hockey League. He's got 8 shutouts. The next goalie has 4. This guy's going to probably, knock on wood, break Kiprusoff's Calgary Flames record of 10 in a season. He's well on his way there. This team is playing great defense in front of him. And every night Markstrom goes into net, we feel safe as Flames fans, right? It's been a long time since we've been able to say that about our goaltending in Calgary, hasn't it? It's been since Kiprusoff, because we thought we were going to get that with Jonas Hiller, not so much. And we got a million of them come flying in and out. But when we got Markstrom, we knew it was going to be good. And it's been everything that we've asked for. Now, other candidates, I think the leader probably would be Igor Shesterkin, but Markstrom's just slowly picking away at that. I think Tristan Jarry's name would have to come up, as he's having a wonderful year in Pittsburgh. Thatcher Demko in Vancouver, been deadly lately. The guy's just been unbelievable as of late. Frederick Anderson in Carolina's having a great year, and UC Saros in Nashville's having a great year. But if you had to vote today, wouldn't you think Markstrom would at least be in the top 2 on this one? I do. Look where this team's at. Now, when you look at the Selke Trophy for the best defensive forward, this is an award that's pissed me off for years. It's the same freaking candidates every single year. It's just like the guy's voting, pull up the internet, Google who are the Selke finalists last year, and pencil those names in. Patrice Bergeron, yeah, your name's there all the time. I think right now Elias Lindholm would be up the top of the list. Patrice Bergeron would probably be up there too. Anthony Cirelli in Tampa Bay would be up there. Alexander Barkov's name would be mentioned. Roope Hintz in Dallas would be mentioned. Ryan O'Reilly's always gets mentioned. I've heard Sebastian Aho mentioned. It's amazing what he's been doing. He kills penalties. He's all over the ice, shutting down opponents. And on the flip side of that, putting up a great amount of points. He's, I believe, on a 6-game goal streak, or God, I might be wrong on that. We've got so many streaks going on right now. I don't know if I'm wrong on that. I think I'm right, actually. The guy's been amazing lately, putting the puck in on a nightly basis and doing everything you can ask in 200 foot. He's got to be a strong finalist. And then you roll on into the Jack Adams Trophy for top coach and Daryl Sutter. Sutter's style equals success. If your team buys in, you're going to win. He'll play the right pieces. This guy knows what he's doing. He's got his guys performing. Now listen to this. This is a list of players for the Flames that are on career high paces. Listen to this. Johnny Gaudreau is on a career high pace for assists, points, and points per game. Matthew Tkachuk is on a career high pace for goals, assists, points, and points per game. Elias Lindholm is on a career high pace for goals. Mangiapane is on a career high rate for goals, assists, and points. Dylan Dubé is on a career high pace for assists. Rasmus Anderson is for assists and points. Noah Hanifin, assists and points. Chillington, goals, assists, and points. Tanev, goals, assists, and points. Zadorov, assists and points. Gabranson, assists, goals, and points. Everything. These guys, it's truly remarkable. The defense is putting in pucks over and over. We're getting so much offense production from the defense. 2 weeks ago, Sutter was saying we need to get more production from our defense. Right where the doctor ordered, we're putting in 2 goals a night from our back end. It's crazy. From being a bottom feeder in the Canadian division, this team's looking like they could win the Pacific. It's nothing short of incredible. Our goals against average is 2.40, second in the National Hockey League. Our save percentage is .918, second in the National Hockey League. Our goal differential is it's up to 50. You pull that up. Is that just changed last night? 52, which is good for third in the National Hockey League. And our penalty kill is at 84.5, which is third in the National Hockey League. Sutter's system's working. And this one, more than anything else, he's got to be the leading Canada to get this award. Other finalists would probably be Pittsburgh's Mike Sullivan, Carolina's Rod Brind'Amour, Minnesota Dean Evenson would be a candidate, St. Louis Craig Berube, and Nashville's John Hines. Man, how does Daryl Sutter, if things keep going at this pace, how does Daryl Sutter not win this award? All right, Flames fans, let's go around the league with just a small smidgen of Flames news. As the Olympics are starting to wind down now a little bit, as Canada and the U.S. have been eliminated, lots of players, former Flames, have made an appearances in this Olympics. Let's roll through them. Canada, Corbin Knight, Tyler Witherspoon. U.S., Kenny Agostino, Nick Shore. China, Spencer Fu. Germany, Tobias Reeder, David Wolf. Czech Republic, Roman Trevenek, Michael Frolik, Nikita Nesterov. Switzerland, Rhett Obera. Finland, Marcus Granlund. Sweden, Oster Fattenberg. It's a lot of guys since the pros aren't there. Now, injuries. Something I don't usually like to talk about on the show, and I'm not trying to jinx us here. But this team has been virtually injury-free. This is a part of the show where I usually name off 2 or 3 guys, give you updates on what I've heard and when they're going to be coming back. I got nothing to talk about. Just one of the greatest blessings we've had this year that's not getting much talk. The only injuries you can count on one hand, and they're Tyler Pitlick, and that's about it. Irrelevant injuries this year. Last night scared the heck out of me. Hanifin blocks a shot in the first period. Did return. That one scared me a little bit. Tanev gets a stick to the face and then goes feet first in a weird collision into the end boards. And I thought, oh, man. Oh, just stressing me out. There was a lot of scary moments on Wednesday night where I thought, man, oh, man. Now, I don't, injuries are going to happen. They're going to come. We're going to get some. But, man, right now with the way this team is going and the way we're staying injury free, it's amazing. It's amazing. Let's take a look at the Pacific here and talk a little bit about the division. As we sit here on a Thursday night, Calgary sits in first place with 62 points. Vegas with 59. Edmonton has climbed their way back up to third with 55. LA 55. Anaheim 55. Logjam right there. Vancouver lurking outside the playoff part with 50 points, 5 points back of a playoff spot, but three teams to jump to get there. San Jose sits at 48 points. They've kind of fallen back to the earth. And the Seattle Kraken are carrying up the back end with 36 points. Now, if the playoffs started today, the Flames would be the number one seed out of the Pacific Division and would play wild card number one, which would be a date with the Nashville Predators, a team that many people did not expect to be a quality team this year, and have. They've been very good. UC Saros has been good, been getting good scoring from a number of different players, and surprising a lot of people around the league. Now, the Flames, just a couple weeks ago, were 7 games back of some divisional opponents. Now, that has lessened a little bit. The Anaheim has the most games at 50. That'd be 3 more than Calgary. Vegas has 49. Edmonton, 47. Same as Calgary. LA has 1 more at 48. Vancouver has 2 more at 49. So most teams are between 47 and 50 games. So that playing field has been leveled a little bit, I guess would be a better term for it. And we can not worry so much about point percentage, but worry more about points is what we're determined on. But with the COVID and so many cancellations for some of the teams, it really threw that out of whack, and we're getting back to normal now. I was looking at a power ranking for the Pacific Division this week, and Calgary was rated higher than Vegas. Calgary was rated, this was in The Athletic, they were rated in the NHL power ranking 7th overall. Vegas was 9th. LA was 15th, higher than any of us expected there. Edmonton 17th. Anaheim 18th, Vancouver 21st, San Jose 22nd, Seattle bringing up the rear at 27. Now we saw a coaching change in Edmonton this week as all kinds of hell broke loose in Edmonton as Dave Tippett was fired. And yeah, surprising hire, I guess. I don't know. I think it's surprising as Woodcroft comes in. He was a coach in Bakersfield in their American Hockey League. It was his 4th season there. He steps in as head coach. Couple theories there. Now, why didn't Edmonton go out and get a big-name coach? Well, they're still on the hook for a lot of money with Dave Tippett. I don't think ownership wanted, with the money they've lost being in the Canadian market this year and everything, I don't know how they could afford to go pay another coach big, big money to come in. I think this was a cheap alternative. I'm not saying it's a bad alternative, but one that kind of was a head scratcher a little bit for a lot of us. I know it surprised me a little bit. We'll see how it goes. Now, they're off to a really good start since he's got in. I believe they're 2-0 since his taking over, but the amount of coaches that this group has went through is amazing. McDavid's went through 4 coaches in 7 years. Nugent Hopkins on his 12th coach in 11 years. 10 coaches over 14 years for the team. That's unreal. It's unreal. I love Ken Holland's quote. He said, he described his team as it's been a toilet seat. It's been up and down like a toilet seat this year. I don't know. I'm glad Calgary's not a toilet seat right now, right? Vegas. Nah, they're doing a little camp shuffle. Got everybody a little bit fired up. Got me a little bit fired up on this one, as Mark Stone has now been placed on a long-term IR to heal his back. And then mysteriously Wednesday night, Jack Eichel makes his appearance. No points, I believe, in Eichel's appearance, but that was against Colorado in a game that was pretty physical game. I did not watch all of it because I flipped over after the Flames game to watch the women's gold medal game last night. So I didn't see a whole lot of that game, but he is back in the lineup and Mark Stone goes to long-term IR. Are they pulling the Tampa Bay thing? Will he come right before the playoffs start again when it's okay to be over the cap and step right into a playoff spot? I don't know. It's got a lot of people in the league upset. It's got me a little bit fired up. But I guess if the rule's there, I guess we could utilize it too. I think we're in a position to utilize it, but I guess if they're going to allow it, they're going to allow it. No change in the CBA now for a while, so we're going to have to live with it. On to a listener question. In this week, we did a Facebook poll, kind of piggybacked on last week's when we asked you, what was your favorite Calgary Flames regular jersey? Well, this week we turned the tables just a little bit, and with the help of our friends at Flames Hub and Calgary Flames Fans, which are two great Facebook groups that if you're a Flames fan, you have to get on and be a member. Great Flames talk every single day. Lots of good information. Some really, really good people on those sites. I met a lot of people through there. So my question this week was, what was your favorite special event or third jersey for the Calgary Flames? I'll describe them to you a little bit. The first one was the original Blasty, the one during the Iginla era. The second was the script jersey. You had said Calgary across the front in cursive with a little C below it. That was a red jersey. And then the third jersey was that striped Ronald McDonald Heritage Classic jersey. And the fourth was last year's retro Blasty, which was a pretty good jersey. The results were in. Lots of great responses on these two Facebook groups. The script jersey won with 38% of the votes, which surprised the heck out of me. Second place was last year's retro Blasty with 33%. Original Blasty got 19%. And the Ronald McDonald Heritage got 10%. And I'll be honest with you, that Ronald McDonald was the most god-awful, hideous jersey I've ever seen. Right behind the Colorado Avalanche outdoor game from a couple years ago. That thing looked like my grandma knit it. It was bad. But I'm not personally a Blasty guy. But I am so shocked that Blasty didn't just run away with this. I know it's a you either love it or hate it jersey, but man, I know a lot of people that really like the Blasty jerseys. I'm not one, but I know a lot that really, really like it. And I don't know if they were just sleeping on this poll and didn't want to vote or what, but for the script third jersey to win, I was surprised. I thought Blasty would freaking destroy it.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
Oh, Flames fans, let's keep this winning going. Seattle comes to town Saturday night for a Hockey Night in Canada battle. Seattle currently 16-29-4, 36 points in that Pacific Division where they hold down the final spot in the division. Second of four meetings for the Flames and Kraken this year. It's weird to say that, but second of four meetings. The first 6-4 win for the Flames. And that was the December 30th game in Seattle. That was the return from COVID game. Well, we were okay. We're able to squeak out a win in a game I didn't think we played all that well. The Flames do play in Seattle again on April 9th. And Seattle comes to Calgary again April 12th to finish off that four-game set with the expansion team. Now, Saturday night marks Mark Giordano's return to Calgary, which will be a great event. It'll be great to have him back in the building. He did so much for this organization, and we wish him the best. Fortunately, we're sitting at 50% capacity as it stands right now. Hopefully that changes by Saturday. Then a little quieter week this week. Winnipeg comes to town on Monday afternoon, the 21st, for an afternoon game, a family day game. In the afternoon, I personally hate afternoon games, but we're going to go with it. Winnipeg currently 21-18-8, 50 points, sixth place in the Central, currently sitting outside of a playoff spot, which surprises most of us. Second of three meetings for the Flames-Jets this year. The Flames lost to the Jets on November 27th, 4-2 in Winnipeg. The final game will be in Winnipeg again right at the end of the season, April 29th. The Flames will have to make a trip to Winnipeg. Boy, it has been balls to the wall. As last week, we had five games. This week, only two. Next week's schedule's a little bit lighter. We got Winnipeg on Monday, which we just talked about it. Tuesday, Wednesday, where the team is off. We're in Vancouver for next Thursday night, a week from tonight, and then a hockey night in Canada battle when Minnesota comes to town to wrap up the month of February on the 26th. Since we got back from the COVID break, man, it's been gangbusters. This week, we'll slow her down just a little bit, but be back bigger than ever with March and April. If you look at those schedules, it is going to be crazy, crazy. Well, it's been an exciting week. A week full of excitement as Toffoli is a Calgary Flame. This team keeps rolling and rolling, putting up 6-5 a night. Ugh, it has been so fun to watch. We will be back February 23rd, yep, next Wednesday night for another episode of Flames Unfiltered. Flames Twitter superstar Nate Thomas joins the show. Always fun to have him on. We're going to talk about all kinds of different Flames things, get his take on where he thinks his team's going this year, what other things happen before deadline, cover all the hot topics. Look forward to having him on the show, and that's next week's show. Check out Flames Unfiltered this week, flamesunfiltered.com. Get on over to Apple Podcasts, rate, review, all those good things. We appreciate each and every one of you for listening every week. Have a great week, Flames fans. Boy, it's a good time to be a Calgary Flames fan. Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter, at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page, at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Bruin on Twitter, at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah, baby! Play on! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk. This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.